When Barack Obama took office, he brought with him a new group of foreign policy advisors intent on carving out a new global role for America in the wake of the Bush administration's war in Iraq. Now, the author of Rise of the Vulcans offers an account of the messier realities they faced in implementing their policies. In The Obamians, James Mann tells the story of the administration's struggle to enact a coherent and effective set of policies in a time of global turmoil. James Mann, a former Washington reporter, columnist, and foreign correspondent for the Los Angeles Times, is author in residence at the Johns Hopkins School of Advanced International Studies, and we welcome him to the roundtable this morning. James, thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Good to be with you, Joe.
What was it that you wanted to accomplish in this book? It is fascinating that, looking at what you have written in the past, that you wanted to specifically take a look at how this particular administration came together to work with foreign policy.
That's right. The Rise of the Vulcans book was about the Republicans in the Bush administration, but really about Republicans and conservatives over a 40-year period, their interactions with one another and so on. And so when Obama was elected, I kind of wanted to take a look at the Democrats because they've faced an entirely different set of issues. They regularly find themselves attacked by the Republicans for being weak on defense. They have had problems in some elections because of those charges. I think of George McGovern in 72, or say Michael Dukakis in 88. And so they have a different legacy, and they have different kinds of arguments.
What struck you about this particular group of people and how it was constructed?
Two things. First was that remarkably few of the Obamians, as I call them, ended up with jobs in the administration. I mean, this is a president who chose Bush's second Secretary of Defense as his Secretary of Defense, and he chose essentially military leaders to be the National Security Advisor and the head of National Intelligence. So he didn't have a lot of people close to him in high-level positions. What he brought in was his foreign policy team from the campaign. They tended to be younger than Obama, and they tended to have a different outlook on the world, as he did, which was that they no longer assume that the United States is the dominant power in the world and can get its way in the way that it did before.
You know, one of the things that I found fascinating about the book, and I hope I'm reading it right, but it seems to me that at some point as you're reading the book, you get an idea that there is a group of people who are dedicated and yet are in over their heads. And then you sort of get the idea that it's almost impossible not to be in over your head.
Well, they've gone through a learning process, so they learned on military things. They started out dealing with the war in Afghanistan by sending more and more troops. These are not people with experience in the military, and so they were a little insecure. They went along with the idea of sending more and more troops. They effectively adopted the policy of counterinsurgency that the Bush administration had adopted in its last couple years. And as time went on, they recognized that wouldn't work. And after the death of Osama bin Laden, they changed course in Afghanistan and really de-emphasized counterinsurgency. They never quite say it's dead, but it is for all intents and purposes, and switched instead to the use of those drone aircrafts, which Obama has used vastly more than George Bush did.
Why do you think that's the case, the increased use of drone aircraft?
Well, the underlying fact about counterinsurgency, first of all, is that it takes lots and lots of troops and lots of time. And in the year and a half or so that Obama really counted on it, He slowly came to recognize that it wasn't going to work, at least not so quickly. And meanwhile, the drones turned out to be a spectacular success in attacks on individual terrorists, and so that seemed to work, and he just plain made it his own policy.
Let's talk for a few minutes about Guantanamo and the president's dealings with that situation, to close Guantanamo and the failure to do so. How much of that was a failure?
I think it was a failure. I think he by any stretch of the imagination, just the fact that it was one of the first things he promised, he not only promised to do in the campaign, but in his first 48 hours in the White House, signed an executive order ordering that it be closed within a year.
So what went wrong?
And then he had to back off. So it's a failure. It's not entirely his fault. I mean, he ran into the fact that Congress was not willing to do what it would take to close Guantanamo, but certainly he bears the responsibility on that.
I'm interested in reading the book and having you describe how you see the role of Joe Biden as an Obamian.
Right. Biden, I try to say in the book, he was chosen not so much to do foreign policy as to show in the campaign that they had experience in foreign policy. And so he wasn't particularly, he sits in on all the meetings, but at first his advice was kind of cast aside. I mean, he was treated almost like, it's a little unfair, but he was treated like a pet rock almost. And then it turned out, specifically on Afghanistan, that what he was recommending, which was an emphasis on counterterrorism, the use of the drones, for example, and commando operations, turned out to be the approach Obama wanted, and so he took on a greater role. But he's in the tradition of other vice presidents who do ceremonial things and sit in on the policy meetings without really having a lot of clout of his own.
When you look at the subtitle of this book, which is The Struggle Inside the White House to Redefine American Power, is there still a struggle going on, do you feel, or have they found their footing?
Yes, there's still a struggle going on. It's still unclear whether the United States can and whether the Obama administration wants it to play the role it has played since World War II, since after World War II, which is as the unquestioned leader of the free world. Obama has given speeches that kind of leave it open, where predecessors would call the United States the indispensable nation and so on. Obama said it in his Nobel Prize speech, for example, we have underwritten the global security of the world for seven decades. And he kind of leaves it at that without saying whether it's possible to perpetuate that role for a long time or not.
You write in the epilogue of the book that on January 20th of this year, 3 years after the president took the oath of office, the world was particularly unsettled. Over the previous months, there had been a series of political convulsions in Egypt, Libya, Syria, North Korea, Pakistan, and Russia. Many of those, obviously, most we're still dealing with. So regardless of who becomes the next president of the United States, these are very real issues. And I guess the question is, when it comes to foreign policy, and this gets back to the thing about being in over your head, I mean, is there ever a right answer sometimes? Because it just seems as though, you play your best card, you play your best hand, and you don't know what's coming around the bend.
Often you don't. There are real answers sometimes. I mean, Bush did not achieve what he wanted with Osama bin Laden. He was Bin Laden got away at the end of 2001. And Bush had a policy of, for example, on Pakistan, he was in some ways more conciliatory. He would promise to and committed himself to always telling the leaders of Pakistan what the United States was going to do. Obama was more hawkish and did succeed in on the effort to get bin Laden.
When you, looking at the book, what do you hope ultimately people get out of it of a clear picture of this administration and what is possible in the future?
First, that the United States doesn't have as much power in the world as politicians in this country talk about. They're just things that we have less clout on than we had before. And second, that this sort of standard attack on Democratic presidents as weak on defense is really has become really more slogan than reality.
James Mann's book is The Obamians, The Struggle Inside the White House to Redefine American Power. It is published by Viking. James Mann, best of luck. I thank you very much for sharing your expertise with us.
Thanks, Joe.
A great pleasure. Again, the name of the book is The Obamians, published by Viking. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.